Come in.
Hi, hi, Dr. Patterson. How are you?
Oh, very. Good morning. It's good to see you. Just let me switch this off.
You've been shaving and eating Rice Krispies? You know what you look like? You look like you were living and sleeping right here in your office.
Really? That's because I'm living and sleeping right here in my office.
Wow, taking that rich smell. You've been cooking. Is that Rita Vaux?
Stewed cat food, actually. I'm just learning to put a few things together for myself.
Well, listen, I have a solution to all your problems, or a problem for all your solutions. I booked it.
Hmm?
I booked us a hush-a-bye weekend in Stratford-upon-Swan. Are you still into that? You're not going to stand me up.
No, I'm certainly not. When?
I knew I should trust you. Well, like now, this weekend, hustle your ass. We leave right away.
What?
No, I'm kidding. Tomorrow. I'll pick you up at 10 in my hire car. We can hide ourselves away and really space out. Well, how about it, Prof? Is it good?
Oh, yes, Valerie. It's very good.
We present episode 7 of Patterson, a comedy series in 8 parts by Malcolm Bradbury and Christopher Bigsby.
Oh, there you are, Patterson, all bushy-eyed and smelling of brute. Oh, just off on your dirty weekend, are you?
It's a truly sincere relationship, Victor, yes. Oh. Valerie's coming here to pick me up.
Oh, is she now? Hey, what's all this stuff you're carrying? Great big suitcase, golf clubs, tennis racket, sleeping bag?
Yes.
I thought you were going on a raunchy weekend, not entering the Olympics.
Actually, I thought I'd better move some of the stuff out of my office over the weekend. The cleaners are beginning to suspect I'm living in there.
No, I'm not surprised. It smells like a cross between a changing room and a Chinese restaurant. Oh, Patterson, you're a lucky man. Going away with a girl like that, 17, half your age, lovely eyes.
She is not half my age, Victor.
Nothing like young love, is there? Reminds me of my school days. My education was largely in the hands of young virgins from Church of England training colleges. All Marks and Spencer's C-cup bras and dustless chalk.
Victor, Valerie is 22.
You should have seen us at assembly. All these nubile Protestant birds up on the platform, while 35 masters and 700 boys stared at their breasts and sang, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land." Oh, don't you talk to me about symbolism and Edgar Allan Poe. That's real symbolism for
Victor,
you,
Victor, Valerie is a mature and experienced woman.
You know you can probably be fired for this, Patterson, sleeping with a student.
What do you mean? A university lecturer in this country is like the Archbishop of Canterbury. Once you're appointed, they can't fire you unless you go completely loony.
Oh, going loony's all right. I mean, look at Misty. No, it's gross moral turpitude you've got to worry about, Patterson. Well, remember how Misty feels about these things. You know,
fornication is rife, and I want you to stop to come completely pat up.
There she is.
Hi there, Prof. How are you today?
Oh, just look at it. Bright, shining eyes. Army fatigues open down to her navel. Bracelet round the ankle. I'm one of those cars put together in Italy by robots singing the Barber of Seville.
We all set?
Hello, Valerie, love. How's the thesis?
Hey, what's all the baggage? When you travel, you really travel, don't you?
Oh, he never goes anywhere without his thermal underwear, Valerie. 2 tons of it. I see you travel light.
Right, that's how I am. Hang loose. All I need is one shoulder bag with the collected works of John Donne and a change of underpants. Oh, and my exercise bicycle. That's in the car.
Oh, well, have a sporting time, both of you. Enjoy yourself, Patterson, while I stay here and call your lawyer.
Bye, Victor.
Oh, Patterson! Didn't you forget your wetsuit?
Well, hey, how about this? Off on our hush-a-bye weekend. Isn't it great? Isn't it crazy?
Oh, it's marvelous, Valerie.
You know, it's just like On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
It's certainly better than Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Look, Prof. Patterson, could you belt up?
Pardon?
Pardon? Yeah, put your belt on. I'm not really used to this car yet. It has gears.
So it does. Amazing. Is this the way you drive in America?
What do you mean?
On the right.
Oh, sorry, gee.
Oh.
I keep forgetting everything in this crazy country's the wrong way round. I keep looking for kids with their heads on backwards. Well, well, you and me, who'd have thought it?
Quite.
Who could have thought that just a few weeks ago when I came to Europe that after just a few weeks I'd be getting it on with one of my teachers? Mind if I squeeze your thigh a little?
Valerie, shouldn't you watch the road a little?
Come on, hang loose. You're all uptight. Is it my driving or me?
Well, you are going rather fast.
Well, if God had intended us to drive at 50 miles an hour, he wouldn't have given us speedometers that go up to 120. You know what they say, driving's like sex. You got to do it as if you meant it.
No, I wouldn't know. I failed my driving test 4 times. Couldn't get it into gear. Maybe there's a moral there, actually.
Actually? No, come on, kid. You're putting yourself down again. You know, I've been fantasizing about you for weeks. You don't mind me telling you that, do you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, as soon as I saw you there in Misty's office, you know what I thought?
What?
There's one real cute teacher, but he has this really cruddy mind-body dichotomy. What are you going to do about it, Valerie?
That was very thoughtful of you.
Yeah, I said, that's a guy you could relate to, and boy, does he need a vacation. So let's go, take him on one.
That's a great idea. Look out!
See that? It came straight at me.
It was a tree, Valerie.
I know. I was just looking at that guy back there. Why was he waving at us like that?
He wasn't waving, Valerie. He was surrendering.
Look, come on, relax. You're on vacation. You know, you're really tense.
Oh.
You've been looking kind of bush lately. If you look in the glove compartment, there's a bottle of scotch. Have some. Pass it on.
Oh.
Well, this weekend, you can really mellow out. Boy, do you need it. I guess you have a lot of problems.
Oh.
Were you ever analyzed, Prof. Patterson?
Not me personally. My urine was once.
You never needed your head shrunk?
Oh.
Oh, you must be crazy. You know, when I was 18, my mother asked me what I'd like best, a trip to Bermuda or my own charge account at Bergdorf Goodman. You know what I asked for?
Analysis?
Right in one. I guess I always had problems the way other people have mice. I guess I'd had every problem that was ever invented, and most of the solutions. Analysts, I've had every kind, every kind.
Valerie, I think when those signs say halt, they mean halt.
Yeah? So why don't they say stop in real English? First, I went to this Jungian guy on the Upper West Side who had these gold teeth that went all around his head and shined in the dark, and these cold, damp palms from which the steam slowly rose, and a beard like a toilet brush, and his couch was surrounded by ferns that brought out my hay fever. He was real crazy. This was the guy who said I had a Sisyphus complex.
I never heard of it.
Sure you haven't. He invented it. He said I had this obsessive desire to, you know, push big stones uphill.
Oh.
Symbolically, that is. You know, you never do anything for real with analysts. And then he said the only way to cure it was by removing half my stomach, probably with eagles, actually. But then someone sued him for malpractice, and it turned out it was all a sting. This guy wanted to buy a 200-foot yacht complete with bronze Greek captain to keep pace with the real doctors. But you don't earn all that much for shrinking, especially in a part of Manhattan where it's hard to park. So he was just lifting out all these people's stomachs so he could charge high medical fees.
What happened then, Valerie?
Oh, could you just reach me the scotch again?
Yes.
Well, what happened then, right? That was your question?
Yes.
Okay. Then I figured I'd better take my head somewhere else, you know, while I still had it.
Quite.
So then, well, let's see. I switched this Buddhist analyst who wore these, you know, saffron robes and used to stand on his head while I free associated on this board with nails in it. And it took me a year to figure out the reason he never said anything when I told him, like, I wanted to kill my mother is that he'd taken this immutable vow of silence. So I decided to switch. And I moved to this really funky analyst who had a loft in Soho and wore caftans and makeup and had been through, like, everything. Ast and orgone boxes and Esalen and Primal Scream. Yeah, he was great at first.
What happened?
Oh, he had his patients, or cooperating psychic partners, as he preferred to call them, form a loving commune around him and hand over everything they possessed to him. I tried to give him my parents, but he turned them down. He wasn't crazy.
I see.
Then I sort of dramatically found out what he really wanted me to give him was something I'm carrying right in this car. In fact, I'm sitting on it right now, you know? So what happened next? I joined the Moonies and sold these cruddy flowers in airport lounges to keep Korea on the gold standard, but then the flowers gave me a rash. Then I tried Zen tennis. That's where you play without a partner. But I couldn't find a pair of tennis shoes that fit.
Oh.
And then I tried Primal Scream. But when I scream, I get sick.
Oh, dear.
And then I joined one of those encounter groups where you splash around in hot tubs with 40 guys until you reveal your, you know, really deep desires. But hot water makes my nose bleed. And all the while, my head was coming more and more apart, just like the sweaters I knit. So I know all about problems.
I see you do, Valerie. But you seem pretty good now.
Well, right. You see, one day I suddenly discovered something that made a whole person again and put me in touch with the cosmos. You know what it was?
No. What was it?
You'll never believe this. Chainsaw.
Chainsaw?
Right. I bought this 2-stroke chainsaw and went out and started cutting down small forests, and I found I was whole again. Not that it works for everyone, but I guess in the modern world of today, we all need our own version of chainsaw. Have you found yours, Teach?
Not yet, but maybe it's you, Valerie.
You know, you're cute. Have another drink.
Look out!
Okay, Patterson, you can take your head out from under the seat now. I'm stopped.
Oh, no.
We're at the hotel?
Right outside.
Oh, thank God.
Gee, look at it. It looks like something from Middle Earth and Tolkien. Could it be old?
It's Jacobean, Valerie. Stratford's an old town.
Oh, right. Didn't some famous writer live here?
That's right. Marie Corelli. Now, come on, let's go in. Oh, did you bring the ring?
The ring? Say, that sounds wonderful. What is that? Some kind of bondage device?
Exactly. A wedding ring, you know, for the hotel.
Come on. Nobody cares anymore. Just give me yours.
I don't wear one, actually. Stops my circulation.
Sure, that's what it's supposed to do. Maybe there's something under the front of the car I could use.
Why, did you run over someone when we came in?
Well, let's see. Okay. I guess you'll just have to tough it out. Now you're making me nervous. Well, don't get the wrong impression. I'm not the kind of girl that's always going to hotels with guys. Did you think that?
No, Valerie, of course not.
I only ever went to motels before. You know those places. If two people check into a double room with the same names, they think it's incest.
Oh, come on, Valerie.
You sure it's okay? This place looks pretty straight arrow to me. Maybe they have vigilantes that check all the rooms at midnight.
I don't think so, Valerie. Come on, let's go in.
Before we go in there, shouldn't we first define the parameters of our relationship?
The parameters? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know what you think makes for a meaningful relationship, and you don't know about me. I mean, like, do you think two people who have sex together can ever really like each other?
Well, yes, I do. It happened before, Desdemona and Othello.
You see, Patterson, I have all these sexual hang-ups. I've had all these bad experiences.
I bet you have, Valerie.
Like, there was this time when I was 12, and my uncle came and stayed with us for a whole month, and he refused to come into my room and interfere with me. And then, when I was 15, I had this date with this real handsome guy who was captain of baseball, and he took me out in his convertible, and we parked down by the lake, and the stars were out, and the seats in his car turned into beds, and he put them down, and then he took out his, you know, volume of Keats and began reading these poems to me, and then he fell asleep. And ever since then, I've had this sort of complicated view of sex. Like, I don't believe in trivial one-night stands.
What do you believe in, Valerie?
Well, sincere, deep, no-scoring, one-on-one relationships where neither person uses the other and is sort of permanent. How about you?
What do you mean by permanent?
Well, you know, lasting around 48 hours on both sides, okay?
That's fine, Valerie. Come on, let's go in.
Patterson, just one more thing before we go in there.
Oh, no.
I really hope you're not going to be mad at me about this.
What is it?
Well, I hardly like to tell you.
Tell me, Valerie.
Okay, well, you asked for it. Just that when I made this reservation, you know, I had to give a name, so I gave the first one that came into my head.
What did you say?
I said Misty. Professor and Mrs. Misty.
Valerie! You're marvelous.
Okay, come on. Why are you sitting there for? Let's go in. Hey, Patterson.
Yes?
You're a real professor now. Try and act serious.
Good evening, sir and madam. Do you have reservations?
Well, I'm not too convinced about the doctrine of original sin.
Wait, come on. Quit horsing around. Patterson! I mean, not Misty.
Yes, we have a reservation.
What name, sir?
Where, Professor Misty?
Mrs. Misty.
As in the song?
The song, sir?
Yes, I feel misty.
I see, sir. And you've booked, Professor Misty.
Yeah, we booked all right. Do you have a room?
As a matter of fact, Mrs. Misty, we have 150 rooms, hence the sign outside saying hotel. I think the management felt it somewhat redundant to announce the presence of rooms as well.
Yeah, but do you have a room for the prof and I?
One moment, Mrs. Misty, while I look in the book. We have quite a lot of groups coming in over the weekend. The Round Table Donkey Derby Committee, the Over-80s Transantarctic Expedition Organizers.
Yeah, well, we're on this sort of special deal.
Yes, indeed, I see you are. Here we are, Professor and Mrs. Misty. Someone's written that down twice in error. I'll just cross that out. Yes, a very special deal. Well, Professor Misty, we've assigned you one of our best suites, the Much Ado About Nothing room. We usually assign that to our older couples. And I see you've been booked in for the Elizabethan banquet in the Great Hall tonight.
Oh, really? Oh, that's terrific. I just love to eat with my hands.
It's not quite that, Mrs. Misty. You eat off the finest pewter. It's a very splendid affair for our special guests. Roast swan and buxom serving wenches.
Gee, I just hope I'll be able to eat all that.
And the mead flows freely.
Mead? I don't think I've ever flashed on to mead. What do? Pour it over people?
It's a rich wine made from honey, Mrs. Misty. We make it here in the hotel.
Really? You keep your own bee? Oh, isn't that quaint? Oh, I'm really just going to love this, Patterson.
Misty.
Quaint old room, Elizabethan banquet. Do they serve hot fudge?
The Elizabethans may have discovered America, Mrs. Misty, but I don't think they brought back hot fudge. Here's your room card, Professor Misty. Any luggage?
Oh, yeah, we're weighty with luggage. Take a look at it.
Oh, yes. Boy, could you take Professor and Mrs. Misty's supplies up to Much Ado About Nothing? Boy!
Oh, yes. All these yours, sir?
Yes, here you are.
could you put the sleeping bag over my shoulder?
Right.
There is actually a bed in the room, sir.
Is it a four-poster?
More of a three-poster, madam, after the honeymoon couple last night. Up these stairs, please.
Oh, look! There's a guy in a suit of armor. How does he go to the John?
I don't think it matters. He's been dead 400 years.
Yes, you see, he should have gone to the John.
Nearly there. Just along this corridor, madam. Mind your head.
Hey, I thought we carried this off real well. Oh, no, shoot, Patterson. You know what? I forgot my exercise bicycle.
Can't we make our own exercise?
Look, Patterson, that bicycle can do things for the back of my thighs that even you can't do. Could you go back to the car for it? Here's the keys.
Here we are, madam.
I'll wait in the room. Hey, Patterson, when you get back, take a look inside the three-poster.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but you can't be Professor and Mrs. Misty. Professor and Mrs. Misty have already checked in.
What?
Checked in? Are they really? How extraordinary. Who are we, then?
Oh, no, no.
On that matter, sir, I'm afraid I can't help you.
Excuse me, madam.
What?
Could I just walk beside you to the door?
Ah.
Stay between me and the desk.
Oh, really?
You wouldn't care to put your umbrella up, would you?
You mean you've got no room for it?
No, sir.
This comes almost as a disabling shock. I've always thought I was Misty.
Thank you, Adam. You can put the umbrella down now. Oh, God, no.
Well, bless my soul. Is this a Patterson that I see before me?
Well, yes, it is, sir. Hello, Vice-Chancellor.
I know this man. This is the man who was on fire in our house, and then another time he fell asleep at his own public lecture. And now, do you stay here also in this hotel?
Well, yes. I just thought I'd take a restful weekend away from it all.
Away from the cares of this harsh world. And this fat old lady who goes with the umbrella and the sunshine, she's perhaps your mistress. This is your, how you say in English, dirty weekend.
No. I hardly know her. I'm quite alone.
I think you're a naughty boy. I like naughty boys.
Not at all.
Well, Patterson, this is a coincidence. You'll cross paths with a lot of your senior colleagues this weekend. We've all come down to hold a university planning meeting on how to save money for the university. Hard slog, of course.
But with a few little pleasures. Ah, see, here's already Professor and Mrs. Misty.
Extraordinary things happen, Vice-Chancellor. They say I'm not here.
Excuse me, I must just go to the car.
They say I'm not Misty. Hmm? My goodness. Isn't that Patterson? Why is he here?
See, he walks away. Oh, such a shy little man. Why don't we ask him to have dinner with us?
What, Patterson? Well, if you say so, Zenobia. Look, yes. Misty, I'll have a word with the manager. Of course you're Misty. After all, how many professors of chemistry do we have?
This?
Valerie, it's me.
Where are you, Patterson? I'm lying here in the buff waiting for you.
I'm in the lobby wearing your Mac. Now listen, Valerie, this is important. Lock your door. Don't answer the phone. Don't let anyone in unless it's me.
What is this, Patterson? Are you crazy?
And listen, don't come out of that room, whatever you do.
Don't come out? What do you mean?
Hello there.
I can't talk now. There's someone tapping on the phone booth.
Patterson. What have you been doing? Watching James Bond movies?
Yeah, see you soon. Bye.
So there you are. I've been looking for you. Who is that you are telephoning so nicely?
My mother. Just to say I'm well.
So naughty boy. You're joking. listen, you have an invitation to dine with us for the Elizabethan banquet this evening. You shall be my escort. I like naughty boys. Now, go schnell, put on your nicest suit.
Oh, there you are, Patterson. What is going on?
Shut the door, quick. Has anyone been here?
What are you into, Patterson? That old man called Boy came with a tray of Ovaltine for Professor Misty. Did you order that? I wanted hot fudge.
No, I didn't order it. It must have been for the other Professor Misty.
The other Professor Misty?
Yes, the real and original Professor Misty. The one whose name you thought of. He's here. We're in his room. Now, where's my zoot case? I've got to put on my nicest zoot.
What are you doing, Patterson? I stand here in brief panties, and you don't even look at me. Now you're slicking yourself up. Hey, what is all this in your suitcase? You brought cat food.
Yeah, look, Valerie, I love you, but I have to change.
I'm going to the Elizabethan banquet.
What do you mean, you're going? What about me? I've been looking forward to it all afternoon while you've been swanning around the hotel.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Valerie, you can't go.
You bring me away for the weekend and then you won't let me eat? What are you, some kind of pervert?
The vice-chancellor's here, and they're all here, all the senior staff of the university, the registrar in his plus fours, Professor Greer in her Inverness cape, and believe me, they wouldn't just fire me if they found I was here with you. I'd be roasting on that spit like that poor bloody swan.
Well, how am I going to eat? Is that why you brought the cat food?
Oh, I'll bring you up something. There. How do I look?
You found another girl. You're laying someone else in the Titus Andronicus room. You're two-timing me, Patterson.
I didn't find another girl.
Okay, why are you putting on aftershave?
Yeah, I found a mad old lady. Right. Now, listen, Valerie. Please, for all our sakes, stay right here where you are.
I knew them all, you know.
Really, Mr. A little more mead.
I also knew them all. More mead.
Yes, Zenobia, you did indeed.
All the greats. Knew T.S. Eliot very well. Chap you stole your Lycidas lecture from, Patterson.
Oh, well, we both just happen to think the same things in roughly the same words.
You know that when I sang in Prague once, I met Franz Kafka.
Really? What was he like?
A bit of a trial. Please, go on, Professor Misty.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. Elliot and I used to firewatch together in Russell Square.
Russell Square?
This was during the war, of course. I think they've stopped it now. I recall one night when the Boche flew over.
Our side?
Well, they really gave us everything they'd got. Bombs, mostly. There was devastation everywhere. I recall we found a burnt-out motorcycle lying in the street outside the Hotel Russell. Isn't that a burnt BSA, Elliot asked me. No, old possum, I said.
Old possum?
We called him that, can't think why. Ridiculous, really. No, I said, it's a burnt Norton. Really, he said. And you should have seen that chap take out his notebook. I realized gestation was occurring. Sure enough, a couple of days later, he showed me a poem about it. Burnt Norton. Thanks for the tip, Mr. Easy. I owe everything to you and that fellow Pound.
Didn't Burnt Norton appear in 1935?
You have no soul, Dr. Patterson.
Fascinating, Mr. More me.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
You have a dog with you, Dr. Patterson.
What?
You keep putting food in that bag.
No, I'm collecting for Oxfam.
Always was good at titles for things. Met a chap called Amos once, who'd written some novel about a young lecturer in a red brick university. Must have been a bit like young Patterson here. I hear you're good at titles for things, Professor Mister, he said to me once over drinks at the Athenaeum. I'm a young chap just starting. Got any suggestions for me? I think I can give you the ideal, young Amos, I said. Call it Gaudiamus Igitur. But the chap called it Lucky Jim and it sank without a trace.
They did find you a room, did they, Mister?
Yes. Yeah. There's an old summer house in the garden. They made it quite nice. Put down straw on the, to sleep on. I think Mrs. Misty's nearly over her hysterics.
Odd business, that. They put me in the Henry IV Part II room.
And I'm Henry IV Part I.
Mm. Your room all right, Patterson? Bit Spartan, is it?
Yes. Oh, look, here's the dessert.
Madam? Oh, danke. It's so sugary. Oh, give me loads. Do you know what this dessert reminds me of? Salzburger Nockeln. Did you ever have this, Dr. Patterson?
No.
What you have missed... Perhaps you don't know this, but once I was a famous opera singer.
Really?
And one day I was summoned by this world-famous director, oh, you English so ignorant, you will not have heard of him, to Salzburg to sing at the Mozart Festspielhaus. The part was superb. Papageno und die Zauberflöte, in English, the Wizard Piccolo. You will not have heard of this either.
My wife has a most romantic part.
Papageno is the girl playing the boy. You know how they were in those days.
Yes, of course.
And I am beautiful then. Thin as a little shtick. Then this handsome young hussar hears me sing and falls head over heels in love with me. And each night he sends for me as a lover's token the Salzburger knocker onto the Festspielhaus. You follow me so far, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, this hussar and I did some naughty mischiefs together. This is before I marry. I was wild then. Then, one night, I'm on the stage, and my costumes, zoof!
Zoof?
Zoof, they split open. My trousers crack, my bosoms fall out. 1,000 people there, oh, it is a disaster. Oh. Well, I think to myself, Zinova, you're having the little baby. There's a fine Herr Doctor in Salzburg. I go and I say, I think I'm having the little baby. He makes the exams and then he says, Liebchen, you're not having the little baby. You're having the too much Salzburger knocken.
Yes. Fascinating.
Well, gentlemen, now we've finally wined and finally dined, I think we should stagger back to our deliberations and continue planning drastic cuts in the university budget.
And I think I ought to return to my room, Vice-Chancellor. Thank you for asking me.
We didn't ask him anything. Funny chap, Patterson.
Valerie, I'm back. I managed to get away.
Oh, great. Well, I had a terrific evening. I read the instructions on the electric kettle. Did you bring me anything to eat, Patterson?
I brought you a bit of swan.
A bit of swan? Really? Which bit?
I tried to bring you a bit of buxom wench, but she wriggled right out of my clutches.
So-so. Very funny. No, don't bother opening the doggy bag. I ate the cat food.
How did you cook it?
Who cooked it?
Oh, come on, Valerie. Please. Don't be angry. Come on. Come and sit on the bed with me, That's better. You're my chainsaw.
You mean it?
Of course I mean it.
Hello?
Oh, God.
Who's that? Patterson.
Hello there. Oh. You naughty boy. I followed you up to your room.
Quick, out of the window.
Out of the window? What? So that I can dangle off the fire escape while you get it on with her? Who is she?
It's the Vice Chancellor's wife.
Oh, anything to keep the job, eh?
Hello?
Professor Misty, there's a Mr. Kingsley Amis on the line. He wants your advice about a title. Do you want to take it now?
Oh, for God's sake. I don't want it now.
I don't want it now. I'll give him the message, Professor Misty.
Let's both go out of the window. We can sleep in the car.
Some weekend, Patterson. Weekend, Patterson. I will never come away with you again.
We were unlucky, Valerie. Don't let's give up.
You used me, Patterson.
How did I use you? We didn't do anything.
That's how. Maybe you're one of those perverts who are into courtly love. Maybe you're one of those creeps from King Arthur's round table who lay unclothed with girls in bed with a sword down the middle and said, I was great, noble king. I didn't do anything.
But how could we do anything with the whole English department looking on?
Well, I guess every relationship has its natural life cycle, and I guess that's the end of ours. Okay, out you get.
What? Out of the car? Where are we?
I don't know. In Europe somewhere. Out.
How do I get home?
I don't know. Walk. Hitch a ride. It's like On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
Wait. Valerie?
Oh. And lo, an Englishman was set upon by thieves and left lying in the gutter. And a German came along and passed him on the other side. And then a Frenchman came by. And looking at him, passed on about his business. But then an American came that way, and seeing the Englishman lying there, she crossed over to him and kicked him in the teeth.
Want a lift, young man? That's myself, isn't it, Patterson?
Yes, Professor Misty. Are you driving back to the university?
Yes, get in. Funny thing, that. Just picked up another of our chaps along the road. I think you know him.
Hello there, Dr. Patterson.
Oh.
Perhaps we could talk, please, for a long time about the novel Lucky Jim by the gentleman and scholar called Kingman Innes.
Funny you should mention that. Knew him, you know. I hear you're good at titles for things, Professor Misty, he said to me once.
In that episode, you heard Louis Fyander as Patterson, with Richard Vernon as Professor Misty, Irene Prador as Mrs. Vice-Chancellor, Francis Jeter as Mrs. Misty, Louine Willoughby as Valerie Candle, Patrick Barr as Ancient Boy, Hugh Thomas as Victor, Roland Davis as the hotel manager, Tariq Yunus as Banerjee, and John Barron as the Vice-Chancellor. Patterson is written by Malcolm Bradbury and Christopher Bigsby, and the program is produced by Jeffrey Perkins.